Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Friday. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for joining us. A lot of choices. This is Fox Sports Radio, and it's FS1. 1 hour from now. And I love my Blazing Five. 1 hour from now. Our Blazing Five on a packed Friday. I slept in this morning. This is the easiest show. I got a game to talk about. I got Baker and Burrow. Joy Taylor is joining me. I'm going to have a sip of coffee here before we start. Joy, you look glorious today.
Thank you. Oh, I feel glorious. That's a way to start a weekend. Amazing Thursday night football game.
Plus, Miami Heat won.
And the Heat are up 2-0. It's no big deal.
It's not a big deal. Let me start with this. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand what you saw last night? No. Don't let that just fly by. Do you understand what you saw last night? No preseason. Rookie quarterback with a bad O-line and no running game. And his team said, throw it over 60 times. No picks. 3 touchdowns. Passer rating in the 90s. Do you understand what you saw last night? Cincinnati, far less talent, had 30 first downs, Cleveland 23. Joe Burrow, rookie, half the penalties of Cleveland, 4-8. Joe Burrow dominates time of possession with a bad offensive line and no running game, virtually impossible. Fourth down, 5-5. Do you realize what you asked a rookie quarterback, game 2, short week, to play from behind every snap. Lamar Jackson struggles to play from behind. Good quarterbacks are never as good playing from behind. Russell Wilson's really good. He's better with a lead. I've never watched a game where a rookie quarterback that didn't have half the talent was asked to throw 60 times, no preseason, and the other quarterback played one of his better games. And I thought, holy crap. The losing quarterback's way better. And for the record, this is not some referendum against Baker. Baker played one of his best games. He threw with confidence and velocity. He made a beautiful throw in the end zone to OBJ. He ran a little bit. He played with a lot of confidence. He was really firing the ball. But circumstances are everything. If you told me you were rich at 35 and your dad was a billionaire, I don't care. If you told me you were rich at 35 and had a life of chaos and 9 divorces, I'd go, bro, let's have lunch. Tell me your secrets. Baker had a running game. Baker had better protection. Baker was at home. It was Baker's 30th start. Baker's got star, support. They only asked Baker to throw 23 times. He played with a lead. He played with a great running game at 2nd and 4. It's 3rd and 2, not 3rd and 11. Do we understand what we saw last night? If you're a general manager, you'd never seen these two quarterbacks play. You land on Earth and you watch these two. General managers consider circumstances. You'd be like, that was Andrew Luck. 61 throws. No preseason. Overwhelmed. No running game and a bad offensive line. That is Andrew Luck. It didn't matter that Andrew went 11-5, because I'm not saying Joe Burrow is Andrew Luck. I think Joe Burrow's Tony Romo. Maybe he's better. I thought Andrew Luck was John Elway. But do we realize what we saw last night? I mean, listen, I know Cleveland's celebrating this morning. Cleveland's just freaking out. This is great. A, your defense, your pass defense needs work. And B, you officially have the 4th most talented quarterback in your division. I'm sorry you do. By the way, you know, I have said what Joe Burrow is to me is Romo. He's a gamer. He makes some mistakes, but it doesn't bother him. He just naturally runs. He just runs, and it's easy, and it doesn't feel like he's running for his life. He's just running. He made a throw running yesterday that looked like Aaron Rodgers. It was a bolt. So I went back this morning, and I went and looked at Tony Romo's second start in the NFL. Listen to this, Joy. Second start for Tony Romo in the NFL. They asked him to throw a lot. Remember, this is Tony Romo. This is 15 years ago when people didn't throw, like, you know, 40 times. 24 of 36, 300 yards, 2 TDs, no pick, passer rating 109, and he lost. That was a lot of Tony Romo. Remember that first year? Wasn't very good, but he would throw for a lot of yards. They put the playbook on him. He could run around. He was a gamer. He wasn't winning a lot early in that first year, but that's what it looks like. But circumstances matter in life. Where'd you come from? What are you surrounded with? What's your support system? It's much easier for me to do a good show now. I got Joy, I got Goulet, I've got 9 producers. When I was local and I had one guy who would show up late sometimes, and you're doing a show with no guests, it's all different. Support systems matter. Baker should be good. Their running backs are insane. Who's got 2 number one running backs? Cleveland. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are great. Nick Chubb is unbelievable. He's one of the top 4 running backs, 3 running backs in the NFL. I was blown away. Listen, it's I know Cleveland thinks today we won. Congrats. I'm looking at that thinking, you got a Trubisky here. You're not really sure if he's the guy. You can win some games, but he's not Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, and Matt Stafford as a talent. We don't think that. Joe Burrow's real. This is a real player. I don't understand. Do you understand what we saw? 61 throws on the road, Thursday game, short week, no preseason, under duress, no picks, passer rating in the 90s. He could have had a passer rating in the hundreds, but he was running for his life and threw some incompletions. Wow. Here's Joe Burrow. Wow.
You know, this might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost 2 games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know the guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. You know, losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get it fixed.
Says the right thing, too. Always says the right thing. Let's shift to the Cowboys. I've been saying this about Dallas, Joy as my witness, for the last week. You know, they're a Tyron Smith left tackle injury away from being in big trouble. Oh, this story just came over the old wire. Tyron Smith misses practice with a neck injury. Uh-oh. Now, let me just say this. He may play. But when you get a late week injury report like that, not good. This is what we saw with Philadelphia last week. This is what we saw with the Rams last year. When you pay 6 or 7 guys big boy money, you can't afford depth. If Tyron Smith can't play, the Cowboys start 2 undrafted tackles. And what's really happening now is this. Dak is living the real. That's pretty good. Dak is living the real. When Dak entered the NFL, I mean, come on, folks. They gave him the keys to a Mercedes. Dallas's offensive line was not only healthy, it was the best in the league by far. Zeke was unbelievable and dynamic. Jason Witten was the NFL's first or second best security blanket at tight end. He had a dynamic guy, kind of dynamic, Dez on the outside. Jason Garrett was a former NFL quarterback to mentor him along, and there were no expectations. He was a 4th-round quarterback. Now Dak is living the real. The offensive line's old and falling apart. He may not have his left tackle. The center's gone, and the right tackle could be an undrafted guy, too. Oh, wait, he is. And now Zeke's not quite as dynamic, and tight end, you don't have one. He's out for the season. And your best linebacker, second best linebacker, he's out in the secondary. He's not very good. This is the real NFL. Dak walked in. It's like when Magic Johnson came into the league, he had Kareem. Now Magic's great. That's not the way it works. When Michael Jordan came into the league, he had Orlando Woolridge, who wouldn't pass him the ball. That is what Michael Jordan. When LeBron came into the league, he had nothing. He didn't even have Orlando Woolridge. That's how it works when you're drafted in the NFL as a quarterback. It looks like Joe Burrow. All right, kid, throw 50 times. I don't have a good offensive line. That's a you problem. There's no running game. Yeah, short week road, no preseason. Dak is now, this is the real. This is the way the league works. Offensive line's got some talent, but a bunch of guys are out. Your running back's good, but not as dynamic. Oh, crap. Tight end out for the year. Got a good receiving core. But the coach now is kind of conservative. And oh, by the way, oh, there's expectations now. Dak, you have got to be great. But my offensive line, my running back, my tight, excuse me, not interested. You're making $30 million a year. Go be great. No excuses. No excuses. Go be great. You've been in the league now plenty of time. Go be great. I like Dallas this weekend. And I think when Dak plays at home, I like him. But this is the real NFL. Not everything is, you know, keys to the Mercedes. You get a Kia, and it's low on gas, and the right tire feels a little wobbly. Go win.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I thought the Cleveland Browns game plan was terrific. Now, nobody calls a perfect game. There was one call in the game I thought was a really bad call by Kevin Stefanski. It put way too much pressure on Baker Mayfield. It was like third or fourth down at the one-yard line, and they asked Baker to make a deep throw out right, a precision route. It was like, come on, Kevin. You're putting way too much pressure on a quarterback at the 1 yard line to make a little bit of a half cross field throw. I didn't like that call at all. Outside of that, I thought Stefanski had a good night. This is what Cleveland should look like. That is not good news for Odell Beckham, who had four catches for 70 yards, and people are saying it was a great night for him. He had one big pop for 43. After that, he had three catches for 30 yards. The question is, are you okay with that? Because I will say, this is what the offense should look like. Very run-centric. They got great running backs in Cleveland. They have two number ones. I want to see 45 carries a Sunday. Baker is way better. Little of Baker goes a long way. 26 attempts, 27 attempts or less. And then one or two pops downfield to OBJ. That's what this offense is. In fact, Cleveland late had a chance to really put the game away. It was fourth quarter, and they asked Baker, instead of handing the ball off to Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb, tremendous, they tried to throw it downfield, and the corner sweeped in for the Bengals and picked it off. Now, the question becomes, if you look at this game plan, this is it. This is the blueprint for Cleveland. Little Baker goes a long way, run the hell out of the football, and one or two pops downfield to OBJ. That's it. And Jarvis Landry isn't healthy now. When he comes back, he may get the one or two pops. Odell afterwards.
I just feel like we can always be better. Even towards the end of the game, towards the start of the fourth quarter, I feel like we could be more aggressive and let's put the game away and not feel like it's got to come down to the wire.
I actually agree with him on the aggressive thing, but I think aggressively run the football more. I thought the big mistake, there were two times last night I didn't like the play call. I did not like them throwing it at the 1.5 yard line. Way too tough of a throw for Baker Mayfield. And I didn't like them throwing it in the fourth quarter with a chance to go up like 35-13. Right down the middle, throwing it 25 yards. I'm like, turn around and hand it off, eat the clock. Do not give sin. We know Baker's history. He throws picks. This is what he does. Okay, we know Joe Burrow, you can ask him to throw 61 times on the road with no offensive line. He's not throwing picks. Baker throws picks. He was asked to throw 23 times and he threw one. So the two times I didn't really like Stefanski's play calling were throws. They were not runs.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tom Brady and the Buccaneers now go on the road to face Carolina. So Tom Brady faced easily the best defense he will face in his division of the three teams last week. He will now face easily the worst defense he will face in his division. Easily. Derek Carr is considered more of a, you know, captain check down, checks out of big plays. He averaged 8 yards an attempt. And Derek Carr is not a guy that throws the ball down the field. Tom Brady's going to have some success this weekend. But let's ask ourselves, what does Tom Brady need to do for everybody to chill out? Because we've never, ever graded Tom Brady on anything other than winning. You do not know what his completion percentage is for his career. You don't know what it is. Don't look it up. You don't know. You don't know what his passer rating is. Don't look it up. You don't know. How many times has he led the league in touchdowns? We've never cared with Brady. He's MJ. Rings, all I care about. For all you that care about Michael Jordan being number one all time, the GOAT, say LeBron's number two, you know LeBron's going to crush him in all the stats. And you go to one thing. Rings, brother. Rings. That's all we've cared about for Tom Brady ever. Winning. So if Tom wins this weekend with no preseason, new system, just remember what he's dealing with. Mike Evans is his number one wide receiver. He's got a sore hamstring. His number two receiver is Chris Godwin. He's in concussion protocol. May not play. Doubtful. Donovan Smith is his left tackle. He's not good. His most talented running back is Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette got to the team 2 weeks ago. And his BFF Gronk, he's coming out of retirement. If Tom wins, oh yeah, no preseason, new coach, new system. If Tom wins, that's it, right? Like, don't expect wow. Don't expect perfect. Evans is not healthy. Godwin may not play. Left tackle, key offensive line position is their worst. Leonard Fournette just got there, and Gronk is coming out of retirement. I think Tampa wins this game. Tom's also dealing with, maybe you've noticed, a story that he is answering questions about. Now, 5 days later, he's answering questions about Bruce Arians taking a shot at him.
You know, he's a coach, so you know, I'm a player. Just trying to win a game.
There's that. So again, so the audience confuses me. LeBron's going to blow Michael Jordan away with everything, but it always comes down to 6-for-6, which I've always said, Bill Russell's got 11 titles. Does that mean he's better than everybody? He's got almost double of Michael's. But you always go down to, he wins again, it's all Cavs winning. Okay. So Brady wins. If he wins Sunday, we're good. Okay, he's dealing with a reel right now too. Evans hurt. Godwin hurt. Left tackle stinks. Fournette's brand new. Gronk is old. He's dealing with real stuff too, and he's on the road. I want to say this about Joe Burrow. Now, I thought Joe Burrow was really good. But here's the bad news for Joe Burrow. He got the crap kicked out of him. 2 weeks, Joe Burrow has been hit 22 times. And you do get Cleveland's defense isn't good. Baltimore's is. Pittsburgh is. He's got to play them 4 times. Like, last night reminded me a lot, not only of Tony Romo, but of Andrew Luck. We sat there and watched Andrew Luck, who is a much bigger, thicker, stronger athlete. We watched him, and for 2 and 3 years, got the crap kicked out of him. And by year 4, Andrew Luck could no longer play a complete season. And I remember years ago, Andrew Luck said, this was early in his career, he goes, I love getting popped that first time. I love getting popped. I don't even know I'm in a game till I get popped. Stop saying that. I'm not interested in that. I don't. Joe Burrow doesn't need to get popped. And he doesn't. Did you see Sheldon Richardson on that play? You all talk about how good the SEC is. SEC is high school football compared to the NFL. Sheldon Richardson grabbed Joe Burrow yesterday, and Joe Burrow is 6'3", 225 pounds. Sheldon Richardson grabbed him like his little brother. Like his little brother. So all I'm saying on this, we all know what Joe's going through. He hasn't faced his best defenses. The Chargers have a great secondary. The Cleveland defense isn't very good. He's got Baltimore 2 times. He's got Pittsburgh's defense 2 times. This league is not complicated. Get your quarterback, protect your quarterback, and draft guys who get theirs. Cincinnati's got to get this. You got to protect this guy because I've seen this story with a much bigger, stronger, thicker kid, Andrew Luck. I've seen it. By year 4, he couldn't play. By year 4, Andrew Luck was missing games. Like this is 22 times he's gotten hit in 2 weeks. And this isn't the meat of the schedule. And the other thing is, it's not just physically. We have a history of this, is that quarterbacks, Joe Burrow will handle physically getting beat up all year. If he gets, let's see, 22 times in two games, extrapolate that, 14 more. So if Joe Burrow gets hit 800 times, you could do it, 22, two games, somebody's mathy, it's not me. He gets hit 700 times. He'll physically survive whatever that is. Hell, I don't know. Okay, he gets hit 180 times. He'll survive it physically. There's a mental component here. Nobody likes to get smacked in the mouth that many times. They just don't. Nobody likes it. And then all of a sudden you see guys that their feet start moving. They get a little shy. They don't feel good in the pocket. For the record, you know who did that? Baker Mayfield. So Baker had a really bad offensive line his first 2 years in the league. What has been the knock on Baker Mayfield? He leaves the pocket too quick. He didn't in his first year. Why is that? Because he's been hit, and it's no fun being hit. Watch Sheldon Richardson grab Joe Burrow and just throw him to the ground. This is not the Big Ten. This is not the SEC. It's not the Big 12. You are in the crosshairs of the world's best athletes. I mean, and we're not showing. There's a play here we don't have on tape. It's a long story, not to bore. I mean, look at that. Look at some of this stuff. Oh, my God. How many of those can you hit? That is just unbelievable how brutal that is.
Can we talk about your math skills there? You were off by about 620 hits.
I don't work at Apple here. I'm not mathy. I've always said the smartest people in the world are mathy. Whenever I hear, oh, that sportscaster, that newscaster, we're not smart. Smart is 19,000 divided by 8 and you have an answer in 4 seconds. I'm not mathy. I was only off by 588. That's all I was off. I was right.
I'm really terrible at math, too, so don't feel bad. We're wordsmiths.
Exactly what I am. I've thought of myself as a wordsmith my whole life. I am a wordsmith. Blazing 5 is interesting this week. So it was, I like underdogs. Give me a good quarterback underdog. But that didn't do anything for me last night. I had Matt Ryan. He's a good quarterback at home. He was an underdog. Got nothing from him.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. Go subscribe right now. You like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I'm talking all football. Coming up this weekend show, Joe Burrow, future star, the Browns. Did they figure it out? Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo. Can they bounce back? The Pac-12 is back. Kinda, maybe. 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe right now.
The most, I think Joe and I would agree with this. The last 20 years, there's been one team I knew what I was getting every week. Win or lose, I knew what I was getting. New England.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally looked the same. I lived in Connecticut. The games all looked the same. The preseason looked like the regular season. They'd get better late in the year, but they looked the same. Now there's one team in the NFL. I have no idea what I'm going to get this weekend except ball control. New England. This is what's fascinating about Seattle and New England. Can you win not throwing the football? Can you win with Cam having 17 to 20 carries? In 2020, can you win in the NFL by being one-dimensional? Well, they were in week one. What's fascinating about this game, Seattle and New England. New England has been, for 20 years, the most easily predictable team in the league. Not just winning. Efficiency. They had you guessing. Week to week, Belichick's rules always been, it's a different team every week. This can't be. What you saw is what they are. They do not have a serviceable veteran tight end. They do not have a deep threat. What you saw in week one is what you're going to get with New England. This is a very limited offense. And so I think what you're going to see is a lot of running, both teams, and Seattle's O-lines and D-lines are bad. My feeling on this is most of America thinks this is going to be a blowout. But watch this weekend. This will be the classic game where we know Seattle has more dynamic players. Jamal Adams, Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson. We know this is the classic game to watch line play. I know. I'm telling you to watch line play. This, if New England can keep it close at Seattle, it's interesting. This whole league now is dynamic and it's perimeter and it's a fireworks shows. And I think New England's saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go the opposite of the league and all we're going to do is run the football. Because I think it's all they can do. So to me, it's a really interesting team, the New England Patriots, where I knew what I was getting every week for 20 years. And I now, If by the end of this game, it looks like Miami, then I will go back to saying I know exactly what I'm getting. But I'm fascinated to watch this. Do they have a second gear? Does the dynasty have a second act? And do they have a second gear? And I think New England's going to keep it close. My hunch is they're going to keep it close. Remember, Seattle does not have a true number one wide receiver. They do not have a downfield threat at tight end, and they have a below-average offensive line. And we know Bill's the best defensive coach perhaps in the world ever. Fascinating game to watch this weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He played in the NFL. He was a second-round draft pick. And he scouted in the NFL, helped build the Panthers and Seahawks defenses up. And he's our friend at the NFL Network, Fox Sports analyst, too. Bucky Brooks, haven't had him on for a while. He's joining us. Okay, so you're a scout. And I do believe a losing quarterback can be more impressive than a winning quarterback. And I look at asking a rookie with a bad O-line and no running game to throw 61 times trailing. And I'm way more impressed with that performance than I am Baker throwing with a great running game, a lead, and throwing 23. Am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. Joe Burrow looked like he's expected to look as the number one overall pick. What you're doing early on in these assessments, you just want to see, do they flash the talent that led you to believe that he could be a top 10 pick, better yet, a number one overall pick. And he did that. I think the most impressive traits that Joe Burrow displays has little to do with his physical ability, his poise, his leadership, his maturity, his ability to continue to battle when his team was down. Those things are encouraging. And then at the end of the game, after the game, when he goes and talks to the reporters, he says all of the right things, the things that you expect to hear from a franchise quarterback. I think if you're the Cincinnati Bengals today, you feel really, really good about your young QB1.
If you're a Browns fan, and I like their game plan, do you have to say, listen, we're just better when Baker throws about 23 times and come to that realization? Because I thought Baker was about as good as Baker can be, and I think last night's kind of his ceiling. One big throw, ran pretty well, let him throw on play action. The more you ask a Baker, you ask Baker to throw 61 times, it's man overboard. I don't think he's Burrow. So if I'm Cleveland today, should I look at that and go, this is kind of what he is. Let's just own what Baker is.
Yeah, that's the blueprint. I think that's what we have to do, and that's what we have to get comfortable with. Regardless of where Baker Mayfield was taken, he was taken number one overall, and so normally we heap a ton of expectations on the quarterback taken that high, but that's not who he is. What Baker Mayfield is a high-end managerial-type quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, I think the Cleveland Browns can kind of take a page from the L.A. Rams playbook and treat Baker like the Rams treat Jared Goff. This is a team, the Cleveland Browns, loaded at running back. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. You have OBJ and Jarvis Landry on the outside. Austin Hooper can control the middle of the field, and the offensive line is playing well. The only thing you need Baker to do is buy into the game plan, understand exactly who you are, manage the game, let the playmakers do the work. You'll win a ton of games. And, oh, by the way, you may get paid like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo did, because they're quarterbacks that are very, very similar to the way Baker Mayfield is when it comes to his ceiling.
So it's very interesting. The hit rate on young quarterbacks, and we've talked about this, they got more snaps by 15 years old than the Drew Bledsoe, the Warren Moon era. These kids now have 10,000 snaps by 12. More of them make it. More of them are playing early. More of them are good early. There's fewer busts in the last 5 years. And I just said the joy. Dwayne Haskins' last three games, 111 passer rating, 65%, 5 TDs, no picks. A game that won't, you know, the country won't watch a ton of is Arizona, where I think we all admit Kyler Murray's a hit. If Dwayne Haskins plays another good game this weekend, is it too early for us to go, Ron Rivera doesn't need to draft a quarterback? Like, when will be the time that Bucky Brooks, a former scout, if you look at Dwayne Haskins this weekend, win or lose, I don't care. But if he comes out again and performs, do you feel like we got our guy? How many do you need to see?
Well, I mean, I think in general, the magic number is 2 years. So 32 games is normally when you make those assessments. But here's what I'll say about Dwayne Haskins and why I'm in on him. Having known Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray since they were in high school, is doing the Elite 11 thing, they both were very, very solid. The thing about Dwayne Haskins, and this comes from Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer said he was the best 7-on-7 quarterback that he's ever been around. When he stepped on campus at Ohio State, he was ready to go. Had to work through some maturity things, but from the talent standpoint, he has everything. I think this offseason, was great for Dwayne Haskins. I think he stepped into the league and may have taken his standing for granted. He had to work. Ron Rivera made him work and earn the position. So now we see a slimmer Dwayne Haskins, a Dwayne Haskins that did more work in the offseason. Consequently, we're seeing a better Dwayne Haskins when he performs. And I think a lot of people didn't look at Dwayne Haskins at the end of the year last year. They got distracted by the fact that he got caught taking that selfie at the end of the Detroit Lions game, and they dismissed how he played. He played pretty good at the end of the year. This is just a continuation of what he started doing at the end of last season.
So you taught me this whole thing about the tractor trailer thing, about some quarterbacks, very few, they can pull a team, but generally the team pulls them. And I was saying about Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson inherited Kareem as a rookie. That's not normal. You generally inherit a bad team. Michael Jordan had a bad team and the wrong coach. And they're both great players. But Dak wasn't living the real his first 2 years in the league. He had the best O-line. He had a former NFL quarterback head coach. He had Jason Witten. He had a great running back. And the division was kind of a mess. I look at Dak now with all the offensive line injuries, no tight end, now greater expectations, and I'm like, okay, this is what the NFL is like. This is what it looks like. You may have two undrafted tackles starting Sunday. Can Dak win with this reality?
Yeah, he can, because he's done it the last couple years. I think here's the thing. It's a myth and a narrative that's out there about the Cowboys' offensive line being a top five offensive line. A couple years ago, yes, that was the case. But they haven't been that version of the front line that we've seen in a while. And then when you go and you look at the weapons that he has around him, he has enough on the outside to be able to get it done. CeeDee Lamb helps give them another weapon to go with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. Ezekiel Elliott is still terrific, a top five running back. But yeah, there's more pressure and more expectations on Dak, and he is going to have to work around a shaky offensive line. Part of the reason they struggled last week offensively, the offensive line got dominated by the Rams and Aaron Donald.
Yep.
He has to find a way to be able to work around that. Some of that will be him. Some of that really will fall to Kellen Moore. Can they put together a game plan to mask some of the deficiencies that they have up front? But yeah, the expectations are ridiculous for what people want to see from Dak Prescott. I'm still buying him, and I'm still saying he's the best quarterback in the quarterback class that he came out, and that includes Carson Wentz and Jerry Goff.
The you know, it's interesting. You've never been as high on Garoppolo, I don't think, as I have. But what I can't deny is when I see a head coach who's supposed to be a brilliant offensive mind take the ball out of his hands, I can't. There's nothing I can do about that. So they got cluster injuries at wide receiver. They're a mess at wide receiver. Kittle's even banged up at tight end. Do you believe Kyle Shanahan this morning truly believes in Jimmy Garoppolo after week one?
I mean, I think it goes all the way back to the Super Bowl. I mean, you go and look at the two-minute drill. They had the ball, they had an opportunity to move the ball down the field, and they elected to run the ball before they put it in the hands of Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's the thing about Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan and that system. That system creates opportunities for Jimmy Garoppolo. The system is one of the best systems that I've ever seen in terms of the misdirection, running game, and the pass game, and how they blend everything together. The problem with Jimmy Garoppolo, when you watch the tape, every week he misses 2 to 3 big play opportunities that Kyle Shanahan has dialed up. For whatever reason, Jimmy Garoppolo can't see it, he can't anticipate it, and he won't let it go. And so as an offensive coordinator, it's frustrating because there are only a handful of opportunities that you get to dial it up to really create these scoring opportunities. And because Jimmy Garoppolo can't cash it in, it just makes it very, very hard to call a game around him. I believe this week, though, Kyle Shanahan will be at his best because he knows he has to call the perfect game for Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed without George Kittle. You'll see Jimmy Garoppolo play phenomenal because Kyle Shanahan will put the pressure on himself to create the opportunities for Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed.
All right. Is Brady going to win? Brady's going to win this week. Carolina's defense is not very good. Their secondary is bad.
Yeah, Brady's going to win this week, but I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may have a little buyer's remorse. If you go back and look at the last 10 games that Tom Brady has played, Jameis Winston has been a better player, and I don't think Tom Brady can turn it around. Completion percentage, yards per attempt, passer rating are all in the bottom five of the league during that span. Look, I love Tom Brady for all the things that he's done, but I don't think he will ever return to being the player that we saw in New England.
Man, that was you're worse than Bruce Arians. Guy just chewing him up and spitting him out there. Holy moly.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, loving eyes will never see there, Colin.
Bucky Brooks, it is good seeing you, my man. Catch Bucky Jonas Knox Saturdays, Fox Sports Radio, 4-hour show, 4 to 8. Good seeing you.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.